Well, good morning again. Not too many of us here again this morning, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord again, be with believers and to enjoy the fellowship of them and hear from God's word and sing these songs of praise. You know, last week when Jim asked me if I would speak, he said, and I confessed that, he said, oh, don't forget it's Palm Sunday or something to that effect. I said, wow, Palm Sunday? Really? Because, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Easter is late this year, you know? And I'm thinking, late? Well, yeah, it comes on you, don't it? But anyhow, today is Palm Sunday, and we're glad to be here and enjoy this time of year. Nice to come when it's 68 degrees. Yeah? Uh-huh. And it's nice to enjoy the wonderful things that God has for us in His creation. The other night, I remember looking up as I came home late at night, or after a business meeting or something, looking up and seeing all the stars in the skies and the moon, and just thinking how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. And also, as we look around and see the foliage coming, you know, it's just nice. It's really nice, and it's a nice time of year. And we have a lot to be thankful for that our God has given us here to enjoy as His people, and well, the whole world can enjoy it, but as His people, we can enjoy it maybe in a little special way. Well, this morning, as Mike has already alluded to and said, is Sunday, of course, the Palm Sunday, and I'd like you to open up in your Bible, and we're going to talk about that. We're diverting from the 1 Corinthians here a little bit today, and chapter 11 of Mark. Mark chapter 11, we're going to read this text and have a few comments and then see what we can learn from God's word this morning. Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, or ahead of you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never a man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say to you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches off trees, and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about on all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So this passage in your Bible, if you have it there, you're probably the heading, many of you would say, it would say, the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was an exciting time for the people, and emotional for many of the people, especially the Israelites who were thinking and hoping that this man who had displayed such supernatural power, such as healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and even raising someone from the dead, was coming to set up his kingdom and overthrow the Roman rule, which is very cruel, and very heartless. Now, it was indeed a historic and prophetic event. This riding into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, this was foretold in Zechariah 9:9, where we read these words. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He it is. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt of a foal of a donkey. Even his disciples were expectant. even though just prior to this, he told his followers what to expect. Jesus said to them in Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall," and there's eight different shells here that the Son of Man, that he's talking about the Son of Man. The first one is, he said to them, "I shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes." And we can go back and remember that event when Judas, who was one of his followers for many years of that earthly ministry, one of the chosen ones, was willing to, for $52.80, which is 30 pieces of silver, was willing to deny the Savior, to betray him. That's the word I was trying to find. Was willing to betray him for $52.80 unto the chief priests and the scribes. You remember when Judas came to the, and the band came to the Lord Jesus and his disciples, Jesus said, "Friend," you know, he called him friend. Even though he knew all things, he knew he was going to betray him, he knew he wasn't one of his followers all along. He knew that the Lord Jesus is God. He knew all those things. And yet, he talked to him and called him friend. And I think of that passage too. I don't have that down here, but I was thinking the Lord Jesus said, "No, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So, you know, we can be friends of Christ too by listening and doing what he's commanded us to. And one of the things he's commanded us to do is to love one another. So we can be the friends of the Lord Jesus. But anyhow, getting on to that, he said, I'll be delivered and then I'll be condemned to death. And we know all about the mock trials that was there and how they came up with these false witnesses. And finally, you know, Caiaphas, he says, "Tell me out straight. Are you the Son of God or not?" And he says, "Yeah, I am. And in fact, you're going to see me sitting at the right hand of the Father," you know. And that was all that he needed. And they said, "Surely this man is blaspheming, and he's worthy of what? Death." Okay, so they condemned him. And he told his disciples this. He says, "I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be condemned to death. And then I'll be delivered to the Gentiles." And so the chief priests and all them guys there, they take the Lord Jesus to Pilate. And there he is in front of Pilate. And Pilate asked him many things, but then many times he didn't answer anything. And finally, one question that came out from Pilate was, "Well, what is truth, Lord?" And, well, he was standing in front of the truth personified, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, they're going to mock him. And the soldiers did that. You know, and beforehand and afterwards, you know. And they, when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "If you're the Son of God, come on down and save us, and we'll believe you then." So he was mocked. He was scourged. I don't know what scourging could be like, you know. We see the how many, 40 stripes or 39 stripes. I can't quite imagine what that might be like, being hit that many times. Isaiah says that his back was like a plowed field, you know. So it's a terrible thing. But that's one of the things that's going to happen, disciples. I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be spit upon. You know, in our dealings with mankind and each other, and probably one of the worst in humility, anything, is somebody to spit at you. You know, or then in your face. Well, that's what they did to the Lord Jesus. "I'm going to be spit on," he told his disciples. "And then they're going to kill me." And they told him all these things, you know, but I don't think they got it. Not totally. But nevertheless, this is what happened. And then he said, "I shall rise again." So we got them eight "I shall" things there in that verse in Mark chapter 10, 33 and 34. Now, just before the Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem, Jesus had several encounters with different men, and one was like Zacchaeus. Now, I like the story of Zacchaeus. Let's turn to it in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read that this morning. I think we got plenty of time. So this is the story about Zacchaeus, and here we go. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the amount of people, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come on down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Can you imagine that? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a house son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And aren't we glad this morning that Christ came to seek that which was lost, to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, Zacchaeus had a really strong desire to meet the Lord. Now, he was very successful, as men would consider it. He was a rich man. But something was lacking in Zacchaeus' life, something that only the Savior could give, and that is peace. Even though Zacchaeus was very rich, he was very small in stature. He was a short guy. And in spite of what others might have thought, and I suppose there would be that thought in his mind, he didn't care what others thought. He was going to climb up into this tree, even though he's a rich man, and he was going to see the Lord Jesus. And he wanted that encounter with him. So he wasn't caring what others thought. And as he climbed the tree to see Jesus, he was not disappointed, for this encounter with the Lord Jesus brought salvation to his house. Not because he was a son of Abraham, he was a Jew, not because of that, but rather because he had faith that what the Lord Jesus could do for him. Zacchaeus, he found peace and joy that comes to one who receives Christ. Then there was the rich young ruler, that's in Mark 10 and starting in verse 17, who came running to Jesus and even kneeling at his feet and asked an all-important question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Reminds me of another question somebody asked. It was the Philippian jailer. He says, Sirs, after the earthquake and the jail doors opened up and prisoners could escape, and the jailer was ready to fall on his sword, and he cries out and he says, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's an all-important question. So the rich young ruler said, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus had a conversation with him, and the Bible says that Jesus, as he looked at him, loved him. Wow, that's a statement, isn't it? The Lord Jesus loved him. It's written right in Scripture here. And we can be so happy this morning and thankful that the Lord Jesus, that his Father, that the Spirit loves us. And it said that as Jesus looked upon him and loved him and told him to give up his earthly treasures and come and follow him. But you know what? This was more than what the young ruler was willing to do. And the Bible says, and the Scripture quotes and says, that he went away grieved. He was close, but not willing. Then there's another account in Mark 10, 46 through 52, and this is the account of a blind man. Unable to see and unable to provide for himself, was begging by the wayside. But when he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by, in faith he cried out for physical sight, and the Lord Jesus responded and restored his sight. That was Bartimaeus that we read about there. These are some of the events that happened prior to the Lord Jesus entering into Jerusalem. So many people today, you know, are groping around in the dark, unable to see and enjoy the blessings that the Lord Jesus wants to give to all who will ask. You may be here this morning also, like Zacchaeus, and having abundance of things in this life, what the world could give you, but lacking the peace with your Creator. Or you may long for assurance of eternal life, like the young ruler, but to this point, unwilling, to turn your life over to the one who loves you. Because like the blind man Bartimaeus, your eyes have, like the blind man Bartimaeus, Satan has blinded your eyes so you can't see your need. And how I would encourage you, each believer here would encourage you that we'd even beg you that you would cry out to the Savior, realizing that you too are lost for a place called, you're on your way to a place called hell, better known or known as hell, but it's the lake of fire. That's the end for every person who rejects the message, the love, and the offer that the Lord Jesus Christ puts out there. So the thing is, acknowledge your sin, ask for forgiveness, and receive eternal life. Dear friend, listen, the plan of salvation is so easy for us, but at what a cost to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, found in Matthew 26:39, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." It came at great cost, our salvation, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, onward, onward, the Lord Jesus went. As prophesied in Isaiah 55:7, "The Lord God hath opened mine eyes, and I was not as rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked out the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be disappointed." In our text, back in our text, Mark 11:1-7, it says that when they came nigh to Jerusalem, so by this time it would appear that there was a number of people who were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that his journey took him into Bethpage and Bethany. It was here in Bethany that his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, lived. And not long before, he was summoned to this home because Lazarus was sick. Now, if you were to read of this account, as found in John chapter 11, John reminds us that it was the same Mary which anointed the Lord with costly ointment and wiped his feet with the hair of her hair. It was here that the last great miracle Jesus in his earthly ministry performed. Actually, it was probably the greatest of all the miracles. For Lazarus, after being dead for 4 days and his body decaying, the Lord Jesus said with a loud voice at the tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, with his grave clothes, came forth, and then he commanded them that he should let him go. It was also a wonderful time there that the Lord Jesus had with Mary and her sister and brother and sister, where he said "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then he puts out that question, "Believest thou this?" And that's, again, the question we have this morning. Do you believe this, that the Lord Jesus will raise believers from the dead? Believest thou this? Because of this great miracle, the Scripture said in chapter 11 and verse 45, "Many of the Jews which came to him and then had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." So this little town of Bethany, not known because of its size or location like we might think of some other town or something. We know that town because something special goes on there, but rather because it was the place where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, and Jesus had performed this great miracle in raising Lazarus from the dead. little town of Bethany. Well, as Jesus and his followers came near to the Bethany, they hadn't arrived there yet, the Savior sent two of his disciples to go ahead of him into the village ahead and said of them, "As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Ye shall say unto them, the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him thither." I think it's kind of a profound statement in a way that Jesus said when he told his disciples, "I have need of him." As I thought about this statement, my mind went to some of the incidences in the Lord's earthly ministry where he asked for something or someone. Now, remember Jesus in Matthew 4, 18 through 20, walking by the Sea of Galilee? He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, the Bible says. And he, Jesus, said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, the Lord Jesus, being who he is, doesn't need any of us to accomplish his purposes, his desires, but he has chosen to use his followers, that is, all those who know Christ in a personal way. He's chosen to use us to accomplish his will. And so he says to you and to me, "Come and follow me." Follow me, first of all, in identification. A young person, man or woman, who dresses normally, he's just another normal person. But when that young person puts on the uniform of a soldier, well, he's identifying himself with that country in whom he serves. And the Lord Jesus asked us to identify with him in this act of baptism. You know, the Lord hasn't asked us to do too many things. But there are a few things he's asked us to do as his followers. And one is to follow him in baptism. So that's one thing we can do as we follow him. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dying to self. Baptism is a symbol or sign, or sort of one dying. And then living, coming up out of the water, living in newness of life. That's kind of important too, you know. It's not just a show, but it's something that makes a difference in our life when we're baptized. We purpose that we want to follow the Lord, we want to identify with him, and then we want to live for him. And then he also says, in following him, he's asked us to remember him. You know, this was his dying request, that you might remember him, that his blood-bought children would come and remember him and his great sacrifice for us. And we do that each morning here. Each Sunday morning we come around the Lord's, and we have the Lord's Supper, where we remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And this is another thing he's done and asked us to do as we follow him. Remember him. And another thing the Lord's asked us to do is to deny self and take up his cross and follow me. That's found in Matthew 16:24. And to deny oneself is to yield to his control so completely that self has no rights whatsoever. Now, that's a tough thing to do because we like to take care of self. But that's what it means to deny oneself. And then to take up the cross means the willingness to endure shame, suffering, and perhaps even martyrdom for the Savior's sake. Martyrdom seems kind of over the top in some ways, maybe. But you know, there's people in our world today that are being willing to lay down their life for the sake of Christ. Something to think about. Take up our cross and follow him. And to follow him completely means to live as he lived. And how is that? He lived in humility. How did he come here? He came humble. He came in as a babe in a manger in a stall, animal stall. He wants us to live humbly. He lived in poverty. It said that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. He had compassion. Remember when he looked over the multitudes and he saw them people? He had compassion on them, the scripture says, because he loved them. And he showed grace and every other goodly virtue. That's what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Live as he lived and do what he did. Well, the procession continues. The Lord Jesus, seated on a donkey now, proceeds towards Jerusalem, and they take their clothes, they put him on the donkey, they put him on a donkey, a colt that's never man ridden on, so that's a miracle in itself, because you just don't usually get on a colt that's never been ridden or broken, but the Lord Jesus, he got on it, and he went and continued on as he was purposed to do. And he proceeds towards Jerusalem with the crowds crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Palm branches. I was looking at this plant here and I thought, sort of like a palm branch. Big leaves, big whatever. Anyhow, they put that down. Palm branches. Clothing was spread in the way, the scripture says, as he rode on. And you know, the feeling was, the king is coming. And I think that was the feeling by so many. And yet, as Mike alluded to this morning, in less than 1 week, many of this fickle crowd would be yelling, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Less than 1 week. So the last week of his earthly ministry begins as he rides in. And at one point, as the Savior laments, and at one point, as the Savior looked over Jerusalem and lamented over his people, he says these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. We remember that in John it says that the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the best part is that, but as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's the privilege we have this morning. We can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And still today, the Savior's pleading with rebellious sinners and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The offer is still available, you know. But the door of salvation will one day close. And then we will have to, those who have never trusted Christ will have to stand before him and hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And to think of that, someone being in that position, perhaps this morning you're here and the Lord should come this afternoon and you never trusted him as Christ and you have to hear those words, you can remember back and say, wow, I could have done it. I could have trusted Christ. I could have had forgiveness of sins, but I didn't. And I'm condemned for eternity. What a terrible thing. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Trust Christ today. And for those of us who have trusted Christ and belong to him, part of his family, we're saved. And what a privilege to be used by the Savior, doing his work here on earth until he comes. You know, remember the words, the Savior said, I have need of him. He was talking about a colt, a donkey. But you know, and as I said, he doesn't need us, but he condescends to use us. But just to think that, hey, the Lord needs me. That's a nice thought. And we can fulfill that as we live our life for him and do that which is pleasing in his sight. Now, I want to finish with a song. Aunt Ruth, if you'd mind coming up. It's in your hymnal. It's 498. And then we'll be dismissed for this morning. I trust you have a good day today, remembering the things that we've talked about here. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know where you're going when you die, you need to find that. You need to talk to somebody. You need to get into God's Word. It's all right here. And you can learn how you too can know the Savior in a personal way and be ready to meet Him. What was that number? It was 498, was it? Or what?
498.
Yep, thank you. 498. Okay, let's sing all verses. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, while restless sleep. Day by day His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow Me. Jesus calls us for the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love Me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still He calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love Me more than thee. Jesus calls us by Thy mercy, Savior, may we hear Thy call. Give our hearts to Thine obedience, serve and love Thee first of all. Father, thank You for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank You for Your Word, the Bible, which gives us instruction, how we're to live, how we're to act. Thank You that You didn't leave us in the dark, but You did give us Your Word that we can look into and get instruction from. So we pray this morning for each of us here that we would learn to love You more, Lord, and serve You better, knowing that You've condescended to use us. And for those who might be here still outside of Your loving grace, we pray that You speak to their hearts, convict them of their need of Thee as Savior, that they might trust Thee and have sins forgiven and life eternal. This we ask as we part, in asking Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.